Welcome to All Together Now. This is Eleanor LeCain. One of the greatest needs we have today is for leadership. We need leaders today, and we need to train people to be leaders for tomorrow with the great challenges ahead. In our first segment, we'll talk about a new organization, Will Empower, that trains young women to be leaders for working people. In our second segment, we'll talk about ensuring the security of our elections, making sure that every ballot is counted as cast. First up is an exciting new program to train women as leaders, the Will Empower Project at Georgetown. Here with us today is the director of the program, Lane Windham. Lane Windham, welcome to All Together Now.
Hi, Eleanor. I'm thrilled to be with you today.
Yes, well, I just met you at your celebration with your new crew coming in, your mentees, the young women showing up to learn how to be leaders. And I love what you're doing, and I really wanted to share your exciting story with our listeners today. So let's start off. Can you just describe for our listeners what is Will Empower? What are you trying to do there?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So Will Empower, Will, stands for Women Innovating Labor Leadership, and this is an innovative new program that's designed to identify, recruit, and nurture a new generation of women labor leaders. Now, it's actually a joint project of the Kalmanovitz Initiative at Georgetown University and the Center for Innovation and Worker Organization at Rutgers, and I have a co-director at Rutgers named Cherie Davis Faulkner. And this program is the legacy project of the Berger Marx Foundation, which, as many of your listeners may know, for many years has funded women and labor and organizing. You know, Eleanor, any successful 21st century labor movement is going to need to think big. It's going to need to think boldly. And we're going to have to break out of doing business as usual. And women have got to be at the center of that work, mm-hmm. not only as the worker bees behind the scenes, but as the leaders, the analysts, the movers, and the shakers. And even though women will soon make up a majority of the nation's union members, women only make up a quarter of the union's top leadership. That's just too little, and it's not indicative of a strategy for growth and for change. We think that one single approach to building women's labor leadership isn't going to be effective. So we have multiple platforms, multiple programs with women at various stages in their careers. And you actually met some young women who are part of our apprenticeship program, but we have a mm-hmm. whole number of programs, which I'm happy to talk about.
Yeah, you do have quite a range of programs, and it's all focused on encouraging women's leadership among, you know, working people need to be represented, our voices need to be heard, we're being cut out too much, and labor is kind of on the ropes with attacks from all over the place. So it's really vital to get new leadership to help with working people. So I love what you're doing. Talk first about the mentor program. What are you doing with the young people in mentoring?
Sure. I'd love to tell you, it's our apprenticeship program, and this is, you met a number of these apprentices during their recent gathering at the beginning of the month. Now, the apprenticeship program is designed as an on-ramp for women who want to try out a job working for a union or a workers' organization. We include all kinds of worker organizations, not just traditional unions. Apprentices can work as organizers, as researchers, in public policy, politics. We have a lot of demand for communicators. They are often recent college graduates or rank-and-file activists, and they work with a host organization for anywhere from 3 to 12 months all across the nation. Each apprentice has two female mentors, one inside her organization and one outside of it. And this is a unique, and it's an important part of the program, because not only does the apprentice get inside knowledge of the culture and structure within her organization, but by having the outside mentor, she's able to have a larger vision about how the movement works. And frankly, it's also really good for the mentors, because they get to reach outside of their organization and help lift up somebody into the movement. You know, too often we kind of get into these organizational silos, and it's hard to get out of them. So we treat everybody as part of a larger movement. And I have to tell you, every single person I ask to do the mentorship role, including to be an external mentor, everyone told me yes, which I think, you know, is indicative of the kind of energy that's out there for this program. Our first class of apprentices started this fall. We have 5 apprentices in 3 states working in 4 organizations. So in D.C., we have someone doing working for the Teamsters and with the National Jobs with Justice. In New York City, we have someone working for Jobs to Move America. And in North Carolina, we actually have 2 apprentices at the North Carolina AFL-CIO.
Fantastic. And I should tell listeners, we have one of those apprentices will be joining us very shortly. But I want to finish hearing the rest of what the programming is before we talk with that apprentice about her experience with your program.
Okay. Well, we also have a program that's designed for women who've been in the movement a little bit longer. It's called Cohorts of Learning and Mentoring. We have 2 cohorts, one for emerging leaders who've been in the movement 3 to 5 years, and one for executive-level leaders who are about to take a top position with their organization. And what this does is it brings together women as a cohort who support each other, who engage in peer mentorship. They gather for retreats and online learning experiences. They have individualized leadership plans and coaching. And so this really reaches in and helps a number of individual women develop their leadership skills.
Fantastic. You do the fellowships also, right?
We do. We have the Innovative Women Fellowship. This is for practitioners who need some time and support to develop a new idea for the future of labor, especially with a focus on organizing in women. And so we are trying to build a bench of analysts and thinkers and strategists. Mm-hmm. And these fellows can take advantage of resources on both the Georgetown and the Rutgers campuses. Now, we just announced our first fellow, Erica Smiley, who's the new co-director of the National Jobs with Justice, and she is writing a book about a 21st century framework for organizing and collective bargaining, and it's co-authored with her co-director, Sarita Gupta. And they're also developing a culture change project that amplifies and distributes the book's core ideas. And what this really does is it helps us rethink how working people build power and how collective bargaining can be a lot more than just the employer and the workers sitting across from across a bargaining table, right? There's all sorts of ways that workers can leverage their power. And so I actually have just been looking at some draft chapters for that, and I am now even more excited about that project than I was before, which I didn't think was possible.
That's great.
Terrific what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, I love the range of what you're doing and that you're getting, and you know, encouraging women to be thinking big, thinking boldly, and kind of thinking about strategies, taking the time to think and write, doing the mentorship, on-the-job training. So I'd like to bring in the apprentice. I'm hoping she's on the line with us. Aaliyah Todd, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. Well, welcome to All Together Now, Aaliyah.
Yes, thank you. It's good to be with you.
So you're now one of the apprentices from the Will Empower program based at Georgetown and in partnership with Rutgers. Where are you and what are you doing?
Well, right now I am in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I am apprenticing with the North Carolina AFL-CIO, which is the North Carolina State Federation of Unions in North Carolina. And I come to the AFL by way of a member of the advisory council of the Will organization. And her name is Mary B. McMillan, and she is the president of the state federation down here in North Carolina of the AFL-CIO. She is the first female president in North Carolina for the state federation, and one of about 7 or 8 females currently in that position nationwide. So, really,
well, that's fantastic. So, are you from North Carolina originally?
Yes, I was born in North Carolina and have been in North Carolina most of my adult life. I have just recently moved from the mountains of North Carolina in Asheville to Raleigh, and was connected with this apprenticeship and the AFL-CIO shortly after moving.
Oh, fantastic. And what exactly are you doing in your field work and your apprenticeship there with the AFL-CIO in North Carolina?
Yes, well, I am mostly working in electoral politics, although we are also, you know, organizing is a big part of that. So the big O word, of course, is at the center of everything happening here in Raleigh. But mostly, since I have been at the State Federation since September, we've been doing all things electoral politics in the midterms happening here in North Carolina. And we've got a couple large goals. You know, one is to see if we can't flip the seats towards some people, some representatives that are more in line with our values as working people in the labor movement. We want to flip 2 or 3 seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. We've also want to maintain a majority on our North Carolina Supreme Court, which is important since there's a bunch of gerrymandering and kind of wacky drawn districts in our state. And then also to, you know, break the super majority in the North Carolina House. So some big goals, and I've just been involved in every part of that effort in the area of Raleigh and what's going on. I've learned an awful lot of logistical things, working with software programs, but it's also been about knocking doors and having conversations with people. And right now, of course, it's all about getting out the vote and getting people to the polls next Tuesday.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate that work. I actually, in 2016, I was the national director of the She Wins, We Win campaign, an independent expenditure campaign for the feminist majority to elect Democratic women to the U.S. House and Senate, and, of course, try to help Hillary become our first woman president. But I actually spent some time down in North Carolina doing electoral work, and it is one amazing place, and I don't think people realize kind of when the Republicans were in charge there, just how much of an assault our democracy was under and how many roadblocks they put up for Democrats and working people to be able to fully participate. So I'm happy
right.
We have someone young and talented like you to try and get things organized down there.
Right, there's a lot of there's an awful lot of hope and there's a lot of positivity about things we can initiate when you can easily measure what's been lost. It is a real hopeful endeavor to right the ship again. So I am so pleased to be a part of that. It's important to the working people of North Carolina, and it's a major change in the way things maybe have been done in the past. So you know, Lane spoke a little bit about the Will and Power program and how that correlates to a kind of change in thinking of about what our movement means. And so I believe that in the same passionate way that I believe in working people. So I'm pleased to be a part of that endeavor and that change and looking forward, especially with women in leadership roles. So.
Fantastic. Well, Lane, I want to come back to you here, and Aaliyah was talking about the importance of women's leadership here, and you've spent 20 years organizing in the labor movement, and now you're dedicated to creating this amazing program. What is motivating you here? Why do you think women's leadership in labor is so important at this time?
You know, I believe that women's leadership, and especially that of women of color, is really important for today's labor movement if we are going to meet the challenges of the 21st century. You know, as you said, I used to be a union organizer, and then I worked at the National AFL-CIO for many years. And, you know, over that time, it's just become very clear to me that we've got to develop new tools and new strategies, because a lot of what we've been doing under the old system just isn't working. Women are key for a few reasons. Women are soon going to be the majority of the nation's union members by 2026. Women are set to be the majority, and yet, you know, simply are not represented at that level in our leadership. Women are also really important for leadership because women tend to hold the kinds of jobs that are at the core of today's economy and that are often the fastest growing jobs. In the 20th century, the core of our economy tended to be those industrial jobs. Now, the core of our economy is much more service, it's much more retail, it's much more of the health, the education. And women, these are majority female jobs that are some of the fastest growing jobs. And of course, they're often low paid and no benefits jobs. So for the future of our workforce, women need to be leading a movement that where women are doing many of the jobs at the core of the economy. And the final piece that I think is really convincing for why women need to be central here is that women are already leading a whole new generation of labor organizations that are, and especially women of color, that are trying, you know, new ways to build workers' power. So, for instance, the National Domestic Workers Alliance or the National Taxi Workers Alliance, the Restaurant Opportunity Center, United, these are all led by women of color, which I think is very exciting and is a trend that we need to support and deepen. You know, we talk in this, there's a lot of discussion, especially coming off, you know, with Trump in the White House and lots of discussion after his election about how the white male working class could have supported this conservative agenda. And too often in our public dialogue, when we talk about the working class, we talk about it as just that, as white and male. But it's not true. When you look, really take a look at who makes up the working class in this country, it is majority female and disproportionately people of color. This is the group that is going to make or break the labor movement for the future, and they have to be at the center of it and leading it.
Wow, that's impressive. I didn't realize that women were about to become the majority of union members, and I totally agree with you. We should have representation, particularly coming with the different experience women have, both in our personal lives, a different experience on the job, and as you're pointing out, the different kinds of jobs that women do, more in the service sector versus the industrial sector that had been true for the last century. So there's a lot of changes that are happening, and we need to have women's voices, women's values, women's leadership to help show the way. And Aaliyah, now that you've been in the program a little bit, you're down there in North Carolina working in the upcoming elections. What would you say you've learned so far from your experience?
I would definitely say it's all about relationships. Mm-hmm. And relationships are related to community. So what has rang true throughout my time here is connecting with people on an individual level, on a human level. That's what knocking doors and canvassing is about. Is much more effective and a better way to get together and share your views and push an agenda and maintain dignity and build power for working people. So I have been introduced to a lot of folks and very different very different situations, very different communities, but all come together because they believe in the values of the labor movement and believe in dignity for working people. So it's I definitely had some of my preconceived notions about who a union member was kind of shattered, which I was glad for that. I too had an impression that working class and particularly union members were of that industrial, you know, white male, but most of the union presidents I have met, the union local presidents in my time here have a female and a person of color. So, and sitting at the table was what we consider, you know, more traditional working class or union members. So I have enjoyed that and definitely witnessed that and have met some wonderful people and learned how to talk on a common level about the issues that pertain to us all, that bind us all.
That's fantastic. And you know, not a lot of young people necessarily are running towards unions or the labor movement as they're starting out their careers. What is it that attracted you to this particular program?
Well, I am a working class person, and I am a particular, you know, I am that female service sector worker. I was in the restaurant business for many years. I had a husband in the restaurant business as well. We have two children. So my personal story sits at the intersection of who this new working person is in the 21st century and what they need to build a comfortable and successful life. So I come very naturally to this movement by way of kind of fed up with my lack of power and dignity on the job and not having a way to channel it in a way that created action. And so I started having meetings on my back porch with some of my coworkers and friends, and we started to have conversations about what our needs are, what our rights are, and how we can amplify that. So, you know, grassroots organizer, I've kind of taught myself how to do that, and with a lot of help and support, and of course a large part of that is programs like Will Empower. And so I come to it through seeking dignity for myself and my coworkers, my community, and then wanting to broaden that because I kind of believe in it for all. So and that community and whole worker organizing is the future, and I feel like that's what women's labor leadership looks like, and I'm real happy to learn from those that have been practicing that, and also and grow from there. So,
right. Well, and how wonderful that the Will Empower program is there to help you, you know, as experiencing what you experienced as a woman working in the restaurant business, to help you understand what your rights are and help you learn some organizing skills and mentorship to kind of launch you to make a difference. Lane, back to you for a minute. I'm curious what you think are some of the important struggles today that feature women's leadership that show, like, well, what difference does it make having women leaders?
I'm so glad you asked that. You know, I was just out in California. I was giving some talks at UCLA, and while I was there, AFSCME, Local 3299, and the CWA local, I forget its number, who represent the staff at the medical centers in California, so the technicians, the social workers, et cetera, they were all on strike. There were, I think, 30,000 workers up and down California who were on strike. And I got to go out to the picket lines and walk with them, and we shut down Wilshire Boulevard. And
oh wow, that's
Los
a big
Angeles.
Row.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Both of these locals have a majority female membership. Now, one of the most interesting things that this local has done is AFSCME 3299 when they went to the table to negotiate with the University of California, they didn't just bring to the table wages and benefits. They also looked around and said, you know what? There are too many women and too many people of color who simply do not have access to all of the best jobs here, you know, and that are available in our medical center. We are actually going to bring to the table that not only do we want better wages, benefits, retirement, et cetera, we want to make sure that we are in discussions with the university about making sure that there are job ladders for people of color and women. And so what they basically, you know, expanded the scope of what they thought they could bargain over. And that's the kind of forward-thinking innovation that I think when you have women in a majority of the union and have women in leadership that you can see. Here's another example. How about all those teachers walking out in the red states, right? States right. in which many of them didn't even have a legal right to collective bargaining. That they did not let that stop them. Mm-hmm. You know, they demanded, they walked out to basically call for better wages, call for better benefits. For many, many years, the right wing had been cutting back at the schools in these states, cutting them down to the bones. These teachers walked out, despite the fact that collective bargaining was often illegal, and said, we demand that you stop these cuts and that you bring back some of the services for our students. And so they were making demands not only for themselves, but also for their community. Again, women-led, women-driven. In fact, I think that the NEA and AFT were even a little taken off guard by just how militant this group of women were in all of these more conservative states.
Yeah, that was really impressive. It's like the first time I've seen a really spontaneous arising of the workers' movement, starting in, I think it was West Virginia, the women teachers there, and then catching, it was like wildfire across the country, teachers going, yeah, this is wrong. We can't keep cutting the budget for education. We have to teach our children. That's really, that's the future. We can't cut corners there, and we deserve respect and good pay as teachers. So you're right. That's, you know, amazing examples of women's leadership there. And of course, another issue that's been hot this year that is important that women bring into the picture, we hope, is about dignity in the workforce. And Aaliyah referenced this in terms of her work in the restaurant industry, but do you see anything coming up among women in labor around the Me Too movement?
I certainly do. The Me Too movement, in many ways, is a labor issue. Because when you think about it, the push to end the sexual harassment has been centered in many ways at the workplace, whether that's the nation's casting couches, the restaurant kitchens, the newsrooms, the agricultural fields. In many ways, it's about men using the power over women's paychecks to gain power over their bodies. It's centered at the workplace, and I believe that the Me Too movement in many ways may be the most potent labor action of the early 21st century, although we don't often think of it that way, right? Mm-hmm. It's also a cross-class movement. So
right.
We have these Hollywood stars who brought to the red carpet with them at the Golden Globes women who represented farm workers, women who represented domestic workers, right?
Right.
And so, for instance, within the unions, Local 1 of HERE in Chicago, the hotel housekeepers, have made this a big issue, and they've actually won the right to have panic buttons that they can push if they go into a hotel room and find that they're being harassed by a guest. And this was a panic buttons not only for unionized housekeepers, but for housekeepers across the city. So that's an example of a union really pushing forward on a Me Too issue.
That's fantastic. Well, we're running out of time here, but I want you to tell people how can they learn more about the program.
Absolutely. So the best thing to do is to go online, www.willempower.org, willempower.org, and we have all the information about our various programs and how you can sign up and get involved.
Fantastic. That's all the time we have. Lane Windham and Aaliyah Todd of Will Empower, thank you so much for being on All Together Now.